Meet the lady. Her name is Lisa, and she's the most exciting thing to happen in computers today. The Lady Lisa, beautiful, a classic triumph for Apple. Pure and simple graphic images and a clever pointing device called a mouse. But most importantly, unlimited expandability, unlimited power. Lisa, from Apple. The future today at Wallace Micromart.
Hello, and welcome to the Talkcast, the best 30 plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Jared Elijah. Joining me today, he writes about Macs, and coincidentally, the ladies call him the Mac Daddy. Buster.
Oh, man. I thought we were talking about somebody else there.
No, I knew it was Buster.
You knew it was Buster. You knew it was you. You probably winked at yourself in the mirror when I
said
Yeah. Turned to the mirror and he just winked and gave a thumbs up. Also joining us, he's Cultimax editor-in-chief, and he loves the smell of a tall, frosty ale in the morning. Leander Caney is here.
Hey,
Buster. How's it going, Leander?
Good.
Have you had any tall, frosty ales today?
I haven't had tall, frosty ale at all for a long time.
That makes me so sad.
Yeah.
There's a few things in life I enjoy more than watching you drink.
Yeah,
I remember we went to CES and we went to that really like frou-frou bar and you ordered this super elaborate cocktail with pomegranate juice and everything in it. And I was like, this is way too girly for Leander to drink. But you drank it and you convinced me.
Oh, are you sure? I thought you were going to say it, Ben. It was for Buster.
No, it was for you.
Okay.
Had like a sparkler coming out of it. And then I got one, and I was like, this L. Caney, he's on to something. I felt bad. I immediately regretted.
Yeah, because it was disgusting. Remember?
It was great.
We drank a whole bunch of cocktails, and the floor was all sticky, and the table, and it was spilling everywhere, and it was on the seats.
Disgusting.
And we were air drumming with those glow sticks.
Oh, my gosh.
Air drumming for hours.
I completely forgot about that. Where were we? We were at this bar.
We were at the top of the Eiffel Tower,
The top of the Eiffel Tower in
Paris.
In Paris, that's right, a.k.a. Las Vegas. And in no way am I telling the story to brag about anything, because we were probably the three biggest idiots in that entire place. And what were they? Were handing out like these like inflatable, what were they? Were they?
They were like inflatable ghost glow sticks or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They're like foam covered glow sticks.
I think they were to make noise or something. I don't even know what they were. But we had free drink wristbands.
Right.
And so we were just living that up.
And we were at that point in the inebriation process where all three of us air drumming to the tunes they were playing just seemed like a great idea. And we probably sat there for an hour air drumming the hell out of every single song they played.
All right. Only interrupted to get a few more cocktails. I remember Buster going to get some cocktails. He came back with a handful of cocktails, and he's just trying to put them down on the table. He stumbled, and they went everywhere. He just bat his arm, and he went straight back to the bar and got another round.
We don't care, because it's all free. All the bars are free at CES in Vegas during CES. How did we got so far off track already? Oh my goodness, we have so much great stuff to talk about with you all this week. Thank you for joining us. We're going to be talking about our weeks with the iPhone 7. And I'm very curious to see what you guys have been thinking about the iPhone 7 Plus, especially, which I spent some time with and I've got some pretty solid opinions on now. So we'll be talking about that. We're going to be talking about Hisgate, of course. And Buster got himself a Apple Watch Series 2. So we'll be talking about his week with the Apple Watch Series 2. You may be curious if you should buy one. Before we just jump right into iPhone 7 stuff, let me go ahead and give a big thank you to Dollar Shave Club. Guys, stop what you're doing. Listen to me for just a sec. This is important. You don't need to choose between price and quality to get a great shave at an affordable price. DollarShaveClub.com is the answer, and I really like this a lot. To prove how great their shave really is, right now they're giving you the first month free to join the club so you can try it yourself. Because, you know, I could sit here and tell you how sharp their razor blades are, which they are. They are a third the price of the razor blades that you'll find in drugstores from those greedy razor corporations. I could tell you all that, but my face is different than yours. My chin is very angular and strong. My jaw muscles are very strong. And maybe your face is different than mine. And so you need to try the razor yourself. And that's what I always tell people. You got to try the shave for yourself. It doesn't really matter what I say. And if you can try it for yourself for the first month, it's free. And you'll never have to worry about going into the drugstore to buy razors again. You won't have to pay those exorbitant prices that they charge. Dollar Shave Club, their razors are super sharp and they deliver straight to your door. You'll get a great price and a great shave. You can look like $1 million without paying for it. You can check out all their products now at dollarshaveclub.com/cultcast. That's important. dollarshaveclub.com/cultcast. There's no commitment, no hidden fees, no reason for you not to give it a shot. dollarshaveclub.com/cultcast. Alrighty, before we talk about iPhone 7, I want to give a shout out to Danny Furman, who asked me on Twitter the question that we've all been thinking about since the iPhone 7 launched. That is there any updates on the new MacBook Pro launch date? Buster?
Buster? None. Sorry.
There's nothing.
No, I was actually reading something today about how Apple's going to have to rethink its graphics plan or something because Intel's kind of changing how it's going to do its processors in the future. So That's the big bottleneck, it sounds like, is Intel.
Well, you don't think we're going to not see MacBook Pros in October, do you?
Dude, I mean...
Don't say that to me.
I hope
don't
you do.
Say that. Don't you dare say that to me. I would slap you if we were in person right now. And your beard would cushion the slap and you probably wouldn't feel it. But I think that we're going to see them in October regardless. I don't think that Apple can wait longer than that. Do you?
I don't think so, but you know.
Okay.
It's I mean, been let's this see. Long already, so like what's another 6 months?
Right.
There's some logic for you. It's already been this long. What's another 2 years to get it right? I think we're going to see it in early October. My guess is I'm going to put my reputation on the line here and just make a total guess. I'm going to say, let's see, today's the 22nd. I'm going to say we're going to find out about new Macs on October 11th.
Okay, what do you guys just throwing think? That out there, huh?
It's a Tuesday. October 11th. That's as good a day as any in that entire month.
Okay.
Tuesdays sound good, and Apple has often held their keynotes on Tuesdays. So that means that we have approximately 2 weeks for Apple to send out those invites. Anyone care to disagree with me?
I disagree that it'll be that early, but, you know.
You think it might be later October?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, sometime in October, I think we're going to get them. And that led me to another question, and this is one that we kind of talked about. We touched on last week. Leander, I think you brought this up, actually. Mm-hmm. And that is, what about earphones on the new MacBook? Everyone always uses their ear pods to listen to stuff on their MacBook, but the new ear pods are lightning or, terminate in a lightning connection. So how are you going to use your ear pods with your new MacBook Pro? Anyone care to take a guess on that? Because they can't just tell you, sorry, you can't use your ear pods with your MacBook Pro. What are you going
to
do?
You're going to need a reverse dongle to go from lightning to 3.5 millimeter.
wait. Well, look,
that's right. They're going to put one in the box.
Yeah.
Another adapter.
Or maybe they will just put a lightning port on the side. I don't know.
That would be hilarious if they give you an actual 3.5 millimeter adapter. Uh-huh. I was thinking they would probably either start selling or they would have to provide you with a lightning to USB-C adapter.
Oh, I guess that could work too. Because but then you're gonna have your headphones and your one USB-C port.
Oh man, it's gonna be dongle city, man. You're gonna need a dongle for everything.
Well, you remember we got a leak of that of the casing,
yeah.
That showed the OLED bar, the taskbar. So
right.
It looks like there's two USB-Cs on either side, and then there's a round cutout, which is too big for an audio jack. So I don't know what that could be.
I can't imagine they would put a lightning port on the MacBook Pro. That really wouldn't make any sense.
Why? You got it on your iPhone.
Well, because they allow you to connect your iPhone to your MacBook wirelessly now. So it seems like they're moving away from having you connect your iPhone to your MacBook. And if the only reason to include one is so that you can listen to your EarPods, it seems like they would just give you an adapter, or even better, they would probably sell you an adapter, right? Like for like $20 or something. But I think it's a significant issue. A lot of people use their EarPods, as I said, on their MacBook Pro. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do there. Anyway, I thought it was at least worth mentioning. I'm curious to see what they end up doing. Let's talk about the iPhone 7. It's been a week now. Leander, what do you think about your iPhone 7?
I like it a lot. Yeah? I really like it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You got the 7 Plus, we should mention.
I did, yeah, in jet black. And it was so filthy.
One in jet black.
Yeah, yeah.
You were able to lock one of those down.
It came Monday, which was...
The mythical iPhone 7 Plus in jet black. I wasn't sure they actually existed.
Well, it got so filthy that we passed it around. A couple of people here in the office, like Amy and Lewis, were looking at it. And they handed it back, and it was completely... You know, it was so smudged that it was, you couldn't even see the finish anymore.
It's kind of gross, actually.
So I stuck it in this giant plastic case.
No.
So I haven't been able to enjoy the finish on it. But I'm looking for like a thin rubbery condom case. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that one will come in soon. The home button, I really like it. I think it's really nice. It's really nice. It's really pleasant feedback. It actually feels a lot better than clicking a physical button. I prefer it. I much prefer it. And then, you know, you get all kinds of feedback through it when things happen. And I love the whole vibration thing. I think they made the Taptic Engine bigger in this phone. So it's really pleasing how it vibrates now. And, you know, when you get notifications and tweets and stuff like that, it's really alive in your hand, like a little buzzing insect. And then the finish, though, I had a jeweler friend who's got an office here in the same building. And, we were talking about the smudges and the finish on it. And his solution was to go out and get a pair of cotton jeweler's gloves, which you have to wear at all times.
Are you kidding me?
That's the only way to keep it smudge free.
Well, but does the home button work if you're wearing gloves?
Well, apparently not. No, it's
because it's capacitive, so it needs to touch your skin. Yeah,
but it should work with those. You know, I mean, they've had those gloves with tips, right? Capacitive tips, conductive tips. So
yeah, that's true.
Or you'll have to carry a sausage in your pocket. Remember that? Remember people using a sausage in the early days as a when this first came up? Because this issue came up when the first iPhone.
Were you really doing that? Yeah. I was totally confused by what you just said.
It was a joke, you know. People were saying that if you've got gloves on, you know, the only way to do it is to do it is with a sausage. And they were like, there's all these. It could be like a stylus too, you know, like
yeah.
But you know, it's either that or use your nose or. You know, something like that.
Yeah, using your nose. There's a great idea if you're trying to keep it clean.
It'll work.
Great
though.
Solution. I think the new home button is unbelievably good. I was totally surprised, actually, how great it is. And it's probably one of my favorite new features on the new iPhone.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's so responsive. It's much easier to press. And because it's very shallow, it doesn't actually move when you press on it, it's a lot easier to double tap. And and then scroll through the different apps that you have open.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably one of the best features on the iPhone 7
Why were people complaining about it? People were complaining they didn't like it at all, but I don't understand why.
I have no idea. I don't know what there is not to like about it. I think it's great.
I tried it in the Apple store and it just felt funky.
Okay, that is one criticism I've heard people say. It just doesn't feel right.
Well, I think initially, and then you get used to it real, real quick, so...
I got used to it in like the first 5 seconds of playing with it, and it felt like it belonged. It felt like it was always there to me.
Yeah, now it feels much better. I can't bear to touch a regular button now.
Oh, I can't either. I had to press down on a regular home button the other day when someone handed me their iPhone, and I was so disgusted that I just threw their iPhone on the ground.
Right.
And I just scowled at them, you know? And I felt physically nauseous, like they had just violated something about me.
Yeah, it's ugly.
Personhood. So gross. I'm not friends with them anymore. I have to say, I'm a lot more satisfied with the dual-lens camera than I thought I was going to be. How much crow can I eat here? I think they could have done a lot more with it than they actually did. And I've always, since the phones come out, I've said that and I maintain that that's true. I would have liked to have seen different levels of optical zoom besides just 2x. But when I was taking a video, I activated 2x on the iPhone 7 Plus and it actually, you know, zooms in dramatically. The extra zoom is really noticeable. It's not a small amount at all. And I thought to myself, just this extra bit of zoom for most people is going to be so extraordinarily useful that I think it makes the 7 Plus worth it for a lot of people, especially when you're taking videos. To be able to zoom in with the click of a button much farther.
Nobody even mentioned that in any reviews. And then I was playing with one in the Apple store, and like it has that quick 2x zoom button. I'm like, oh, that's a game changer right there.
Game changer. Yeah, everyone talks about it being useful for photos, which is true. But for videos, you can activate it, you know, while the video is actually recording.
Yeah.
And that's super useful. How many times have you been taking a video and you're like, I wish I could zoom in a little bit more, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, crap, if I had this phone...
You could have got that guy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You read my mind. So for those that may be new listeners, I tried to sell an iPhone 6 Plus 2 years ago. And I was robbed in a freaking, well, not in a 7-Eleven parking lot. Well, actually, it was in a 7-Eleven parking lot. And they ran away, and I chased them on foot. I gave it my best effort, but this kid was super fast. Fastest kid alive, actually. It's probably a track star of his high school. And it's like in Superbad where that fat cop is chasing that kid.
He's the fastest kid alive.
That was basically that. I reenacted that movie scene. And so finally, when I realized this kid's getting away from me, right? I can't catch him. And he's getting into a car like 7 blocks ahead of me because he's so much faster than I am. I pull out my iPhone and I take a picture. I zoomed in and I took a picture, but he was so far away that the license plate was still unreadable. You just couldn't make it out. And if I had had this phone, I would have just optical zoomed it and then maybe digital zoomed it a little bit more, applied a couple of cool Instagram filters,
like,
you know, and then sent that to the cops. And they would have been like, damn, you got his license plate. And wow, this is great framing. And I love the filter that you use. It would have been all three of those things. So I would have caught his ass and had a great picture.
Yeah, well, the interface is really nice. The way they implemented the zooming feature, where you just click on the screen and you scroll around that little elliptical. It's really good. It's a superb interface, isn't it, for zooming?
Yeah, I agree.
Couldn't be better.
I agree. You know, I just we were all expected to be underwhelmed, and I still feel like there's not a whole lot of extra stuff here, but the stuff that Apple added on the iPhone 7, especially the 7 Plus, is really useful, and it really polishes the phone nicely and makes it a fantastic phone. And for those of you wondering, I know I was kind of indecisive and I wasn't really sure which phone I was going to keep. I actually ended up, I'm going to be returning my iPhone 7, got rid of the 7 Plus because I didn't like the color, and I'm going to stick with a 7 Plus, a black one. I ordered another iPhone 7 Plus in matte black, and I'm waiting for it to be delivered because I just decided the one that I had, the silver is just too similar to the one that I have now.
Oh, 6S. Gosh.
So that's the one I decided to keep. Yeah.
Got to get that new color.
So when's the other one coming?
Well, that's the thing. They said it was going to be 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. And I really actually wanted to go with jet black, but it was going to be 3 to 4 months at this point. I'd be surprised if I got it in 2016. But a lot of people online have been saying they're getting their orders faster than they thought they were going to.
Mine came a lot faster. Yeah, it was supposed to be like 2 weeks, and it came on Monday.
Oh, really?
Nice. Yeah. So
okay, that's encouraging. So I hope that's what happens to me as well. So, Buster, any thoughts? You said you played around with the phones at the Apple Store. Any thoughts on the iPhone 7 so far?
I was, you know, I thought the matte black was super sexy. Like, I didn't
Me
even.
Too.
I was like, oh, so this is the jet black. That's cool. And then I looked around and, oh, that's not the jet black. But it still looks really good, you know? The jet black is almost too pretty for me, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Almost. You know what I was surprised about is how grippy the jet black is. Out of all the iPhones, that one actually has a lot of grip to it.
Maybe I should get that one.
Of the gloss. Yeah. It's actually, I think, one of the most compelling reasons to get one, because the matte black is so slippery and smooth that it's going to be hard to hold on to.
Okay. Yeah, I don't really care about, like, the fingerprint thing. It doesn't bother me, you know? Like, my iPhone already has fingerprints all over the screen and looks ugly, so.
Well, you know what I noticed with the jet black also is you really only notice... I don't know, Leander, you could probably speak more to this than I can, but I only thought it was noticeable in the right kind of light. Like, if you're just handling it normally throughout the day, I don't really feel like it's actually that noticeable, do you?
Well, you only see it when there's a reflection on it.
Right.
Which actually, you know, happens quite a lot, really. You know, I was just looking at it just now, and I'm sitting by the window, and there you go. I can see it, you know, you can totally see it as soon as the reflection hits it.
Disgusting.
Ugh. It's not that bad. It's like Buster said, it's like the screen. You know, more often than not, you don't, you know, if you're looking at it straight on, you don't see it.
Yeah.
But then if you hold it and you get a reflection on it and you go, oh my God, am I really putting that up to my face?
Grody.
Yeah. It definitely gets smudged real bad. I haven't seen any. It's been in a case, you know, so I haven't. You know, I don't know how susceptible to scratches.
How tragic.
Yeah, I want to just get one without the case and just beat the shit out of it, you know?
Do you really?
I really do, yeah. I think it'll
look
cool. I don't
know. I feel the same way, but I just don't know if I get myself to do that.
And especially because it's waterproof and Apple Care Plus screen replacements only cost $30 now, so...
What?
Yeah, you didn't see that? I think the price of Apple Care may have gone up on the plus-size models, but screen replacements are cheaper now. So
the thing about having a case on it too is it's waterproof, but if you get it wet and you have a case on it, then you're gonna have to take the case off it to dry it, which seems like a huge pain in the arse, because otherwise the water's just gonna live in there and you know, it might find its way in. You don't want to do that.
Well, did you see some of the pictures? You know, people have got the beta, the new 10.1 beta, and they're taking those bokeh pictures.
Yeah.
So they look like a real mixed bag. You know, some of them look absolutely fantastic, and some look great. Mm-hmm. And then some of them didn't look good at all. You could tell it was totally a software effect. It was blurring the wrong parts of the image. It was blurring.
This is exactly what I mentioned last episode. This is exactly what I mentioned I was worried about, because the software is trying to delineate which part of the image is a person and which part is actual background. It's like creating a green screen.
Well,
right.
Yeah. Well, it's using a stereoscopic effect, right? If you, you know, it's using the cameras are slightly offset, and so it's like, you know, when you get your eyes and you open the left and then the right eye, the left, the right, and there's a shift in what you see. Mm-hmm. So it's using that to create a depth map and then blurring, you know, certain parts of the image. And so I think, you know, it's getting confused, obviously, with some. If there's not, I think if you've got an object that's like very much in the foreground and there's almost a you know, there's nothing really in the background. Like, I saw a really great picture of someone's countertop, you know, with something that was sitting on a countertop. And so it's got this, there's nothing for the software to get confused with in the background at all, because it's like, you know, the countertop and then the counters and the window and the room in the background. So that one worked out really great. But then another one where there was a more cluttered countertop, funny, you know, someone else had a more cluttered countertop and it was totally messing up this picture of this beer glass. And the top of the beer glass, it couldn't see it. It didn't, you know, identify as an object in the foreground well. So it totally blurred the top of the glass. So the beer looked like it was perfectly in focus around this fuzzy glass. Kind of weird effect.
So we're going to have to wait and see. This is going to be arriving, I think, pretty soon. They just included it in the new iOS 10 beta that was recently released to developers. Was it today, Buster?
Yeah, it was released.
Yesterday.
iOS 10 was yesterday. Public testers got it today. So,
I'm going to be curious to play around with that. And once it is released widely, to see how, like, the kind of results people are actually getting. I just don't think you're going to use it all the time. It's one of those things that you use every now and again. It's not something that you use every day. I don't know.
I think I would use it anytime I want anything close up, you know, because that's exactly what you would want on a DSLR, is to, you know, open up your aperture and just try and get things, you know, a nice bokeh in the background.
Nice bokeh.
Yeah.
I heard a good tip, right? And is this true, Buster, that you should actually zoom in? If you're taking a picture, like a portrait of someone's face,
yeah,
you should step back a little bit, zoom in,
right,
and then take the picture, yeah.
Yeah, I would use the 2x optical zoom and, yeah, step back. That way you can just get their facial features a little bit more compressed, like a 80mm lens equivalent is what you want to go for. So, yeah.
Let's at least mention DisplayMate has said that the iPhone 7 display is the best LCD they have ever tested. It's virtually visually indistinguishable from perfect. So I'm guessing they look at a picture of Buster's face, and they look at the LCD screen. Yeah, they're like, right. These two things are perfect. And they said the screen is the crown jewel, quote unquote, the crown jewel of the smartphone. And I guess that's mainly because the iPhone 7 has adopted the DCI P3. Write that one down to impress all your friends. Color gamut used in 4K UHD TVs and the smaller sRGB 709 gamut, traditionally used in digital cameras. I'm reading this off this. If you can't tell, I'm like, I don't know what either of these things are. Interestingly, the peak brightness on the screen can only be achieved if you have automatic brightness turned on. So you won't be able to do that manually because they don't want you draining the battery. Now let's talk about Hisgate. We were all waiting for the gate that was going to appear.
Yeah.
And I thought it was going to be Scratchgate. I had my money on Scratchgate for sure because everyone was already complaining about the iPhone jet black model. But I think the problem is no one has actually gotten a jet black model yet. Right. So it hasn't pissed enough people off.
Yeah.
But the Hisgate thing actually is a real issue. But it doesn't seem to be as widespread as some may believe. Right, Buster?
Right. It just seemed like a couple people on Twitter had it, although they were
bloggers, Apple journalists.
So yeah that definitely right. Made it more apparent for other people. I don't know, have either of you guys had some heavy loads with some hissing?
Not yet.
No, I haven't. I didn't listen for it though before I returned the phone, so I'll be listening for it on the new model. But as somebody who's built a lot of PCs in the past, the noise that they captured on video, there's a bunch of videos now of people who have recorded this noise coming out of the iPhone 7 Plus, and it only happens when the phone's under, you know, like a big load. It sounds like electrical noise. It's like every computer I've ever built. Like when you listen to the processor without the fan on, it makes like this really high-pitched like coil whine sound. And all processors are different. Some of them are a little quieter. Some of them present that sound more loudly. And so I don't really think it is that big of an issue, but Unbox Therapy, if you watch the Unbox Therapy video of him playing around with the iPhone 7 Plus and recording the hiss, he brought up a really good point that I thought was something that you should take into account if your phone has this issue, and that is if you're recording a video and your iPhone starts making that noise could end up in the actual video audio. So if you do have that issue, that's definitely something to be concerned about. But it sounds like that Apple's just replacing these phones, right, Buster? If you have this problem, you can just take it in and they replace it?
So far, that's what it sounds like.
Okay, and most people haven't been experiencing the problem. It's way less of an issue than I thought it was initially. Because when I first saw these like bloggers confirming that it had happened to their phone, I was like, oh man, Apple probably has like a design problem on their hands. But maybe it's just a manufacturing issue. In any case, if your 7 Plus ends up presenting the problem, just take it into the Apple Store and exchange it. I mean, it'll be, 6 months before they can actually replace it for you.
Right?
Have you listened for it on your phone, Leander?
No. I haven't.
Okay. Because, if you presented it to them and they had to replace your phone, dude, you're not getting a replacement for a jet black iPhone 7 Plus. It's going to be like June before they have enough of those in stock to actually switch it out for you.
Well, now I'm starting to wonder whether I should have got the matte black instead anyway. So
why?
I don't know. Just the way Buster was describing it. Sexy.
He was very convincing in his description.
Yeah, it was like making me drool. So
it looks like something on Batman's utility belt.
Yeah. Huh.
It looks really sleek, svelte, and I think it's the best looking of the phones. The jet black is a little bit too gaudy for me.
Too gaudy.
Bit too Vegas. Like,
yeah. I don't know. Like, I'm coming off of like the gold 6S. Toilet
and slicks his hair back. What's that?
I'm coming off the gold 6S, so I don't know how you can get any more gaudy than that.
The gold 6S, is that what you had?
Yeah.
Really? You went with the gold?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, yeah, man.
Bam.
Matches.
Wanted to be a baller.
His grill.
Matches grill and his gold chains for sure. Did you end up getting a rose gold Apple Watch as well?
No, those were Steve's pictures.
Oh, okay. I was like, whoa.
And I didn't.
Buster's rolling with the rose gold Apple Watch.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Okay, well, we'll be talking about the Apple Watch in just a sec. But Leander, before we do that, tell us about Tunnel Bear, would you?
Yeah, well, I'd like to thank Tunnel Bear, our sponsors for this week's podcast. Tunnel Bear is a VPN, a virtual private network. It's definitely the easiest and the prettiest Tunnel Bear that you can VPN that client you can get.
it is pretty. I agree.
It is pretty. Yeah, it's got a great interface. It's super. It's like a little.
Actually,
bear.
That's true. The interface is marvelous.
The interface is a real revelation. If you've used VPNs before, you know they're often kind of horrible. They're really horrible to set up and to use. And this one, you just open up the app. There's a little bear, and you tell it where you want. There's a map of the world, and you can tell it where you want it to tunnel to. And while it's doing its magic, there's a little animation of a little bear digging. And then he pops up, happy as a little bear, in another...
a little cub waking up from a long winter nap.
Right, exactly. In another country, and you've got a secure connection, a tunnel, to anywhere you want in the world. And it's absolutely... It's 256... AES 256-bit encryption, which is the highest encryption standard, completely unbreakable. They take privacy very, very seriously. There's no logging, absolutely no logging whatsoever of any of your activities. So all of your web activities are completely secure and completely private. And you really have, this is probably the most essential thing you should have on a mobile if you're going to be, when you're out using a public Wi-Fi hotspot, or if you're at an airport or a library or at school, anywhere where there's public access to the internet, you should 100% be using a VPN, a virtual private network, to secure your traffic. Look at this Yahoo breach today. Millions and millions of accounts have been disclosed. You know, nothing is... You've got to take security seriously, and you've got to take responsibility for it yourself. And Tunnel Bear is a super easy and a super efficient and a super cheap way to actually do that, to make sure that, you know, whatever you do online is private and can't be cracked, can't be hacked, can't be snooped on. You should go and get a free trial at gettunnelbear.com. Gettunnelbear.com. Sign up and get a free trial.
All right. Thanks, Tunnel Bear, for supporting this episode. You know, I was thinking they should have, like the idea of a bear tunneling is like cute because it's like a bear, but like they should have used like a mole or something, because like aren't like moles the ones that actually tunnel? Like bears don't really tunnel, right? But like they can't use a mole because a mole looks like a bald blind rat.
Oh, they're so cute.
Scare everyone. They'd be like, oh, I can't sign up for this. Look at that horrid thing in the logo. It's like this blind mole coming up out of the ground.
And right,
they needed something cute and relatable, so they had to go with a bear. They made the right decision, I'm just saying. But anyway, Buster, tell us about the Apple Watch Series 2. First of all, I didn't even know you were going to get an Apple Watch Series 2.
Well, I didn't.
And now I find that you got one, or did you just use it for a week?
Yeah, just use it for the review.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy that on my own. Come on.
Okay. Let the truth be known.
What about the GPS, Buster? You know, for your hiking?
Yeah, seemed like you were loving it.
I already have a good GPS watch that does way better on hikes and stuff. So that's... the one thing. I mean, on my Garmin watch, I can load up a hiking route and see exactly where I am along the trail. I'm not sure I can even do that on Apple Watch yet. So that's kind of like the big thing for me. And it's a nice watch. Like the GPS is good. The waterproofing, that's, you know, an extra plus. So I think if you don't already have an Apple Watch, like it's, you know, like a good buy. But if you already have the first Apple Watch, it's kind of hard for me to say like, yeah, definitely it's worth the upgrade, because there's some things that you still need an iPhone for.
Yeah, I think if you don't have an Apple Watch already, this is the best time to buy one, because this is the best Apple Watch. I mean, that's obvious, right? Because they just released it. It's the best Apple Watch. But comparatively to the Apple Watch that we started with, this is much improved over that version. And I said this last week, this is the Apple Watch they should have released.
Yeah.
It should have been just like this to
and
start.
I think a big part of it, too, is also just watch OS 3. Makes a huge difference in how you use your watch, too. So I think those two combined make it like a really appealing device, more than any other fitness tracker like Fitbit or anything like that, I think. But
I think it's also worth pointing out that this watch may not be the right fit for you because, and you mentioned this in your review, right. It can't track elevation unless it's paired to your iPhone.
Right. And so I think, and it's also, you know, the battery life when running gets drained super easy. So if you're hoping to like use the Apple Watch for, you know, a triathlon or a marathon or something like that, or even longer distance races, it's probably not going to work too well for you unless you carry around a battery pack too.
So like the guy on the side of the road has to hand you the cup of water, you splash on your face, and the next guy has to like hand you like an Apple Watch charger. He's got to like jog with you for like a mile so you can top up. So it dies before you actually would end up finishing the race, huh?
Well, I haven't ran a marathon personally.
Okay.
Yeah, but I have friends who do ultra marathons and stuff like that, and that they won't leave their Garmin or Cinto watches at all because those things can last all day. Like my Garmin, I usually only have to charge it once a week.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Especially considering it has GPS.
Right.
Well, you brought up also the GPS thing. You said that your Garmin, which is a high-end Garmin, your Garmin is what, like $600?
Yeah.
It's like the nicest one that they make right now. And didn't you say it takes 10 minutes to connect to GPS sometimes?
Yeah, it does. It usually will like make up for it on the, like when it's recording, like it still keeps track of your steps and everything like that. So it'll tell you like you went, you know, a quarter mile, and then it'll then say like GPS is now working. So I don't know how it works, but the Apple Watch also, it doesn't ever say that you're connected to GPS, and it doesn't show you your route on a map on the watch either, which I kind of thought that was a big bummer. You have to pull it up to your phone to see where you went.
I see. And so you said it doesn't tell you when it's actually connected to GPS. It just connects on its own. And
yeah.
Have you noticed that you've started like a hike or something and then part of the hike is missing because it wasn't able to connect, or does it seem to connect pretty fast?
It seemed to connect pretty fast, like just as well as my Garmin. So I don't think it was worse in any way.
Mm-hmm.
But the original Apple Watch was way worse because it didn't even have GPS at all. So I think it's on par with what most people are used to in a GPS watch. It's like more of a seamless experience, so you don't have to worry about it.
You also mentioned, I think this is worth noting, that if you have your iPhone with you, your iPhone has a barometer in it. So it can, well, I think the iPhone's what? Is it 6 and newer or 6S and newer? I'm not sure.
I'm not, yeah.
But most people listening to this show are probably 6 or newer anyway. And so if you have your iPhone with you, that can track your altitude. Because as you mentioned, you know, if you're walking 5 miles flat or 5 miles, you know.
Yeah. You know, elevation isn't tracked by a barometer. Me and Lewis were having I can't remember what he switched it to. Maybe he switched it to an altimeter.
Altimeter,
I think.
Oh, wait, a barometer, doesn't that track
for weather pressure? Yeah.
if you have any meteorologists listening to the show right now, they just facepalm so hard, they probably sprain their neck.
Well, you know.
Altimeter, thank you.
All these meters, you know, they're so hard to keep track of.
So many meters, so little time. Don't hold it against me, guys. I'm so busy. So does the iPhone have... It has an altimeter in it, though.
The iPhone does. Your Apple Watch doesn't. But they can also track GPS through... they can track elevation through GPS. So one commenter was like, well, maybe that's the trade-off of the faster GPS lock-on. It just doesn't do elevation so that it can get your GPS signal quicker.
I see. Okay.
So maybe that's why.
So overall, though, you're really liking the watch a lot, but not enough for you to upgrade.
Yeah, not enough for me personally to upgrade from the Apple Watch 1, but yeah.
Me either.
If you've been looking at the Apple Watch, I think it's definitely worth a buy. You know, I can't think of another smartwatch that's as beautiful and has, you know, all the app functionality on the side. Like, I love my Garmin, but I can't control my music through it. You know, I can't respond to text messages through it either. So it's a great watch for the outdoors.
Yeah,
it doesn't have a lot of stuff the Apple Watch does.
Yeah, or dictation, right. I should say, more accurately. Yeah, if you're in the Apple ecosystem, I think the Apple Watch is going to be something that you're much happier with if you don't need, like, the super hardcore fitness stuff.
Yeah.
you know, if you're not trying to, you know, track how much blood is pulsing through your calves during your run, and this, you know.
Well, the Apple Watch Sport now, the aluminum one, is the you can get refurbished models for $160.
Yeah.
Wow. Aren't they $169 brand new, or are they $269?
I can't remember. I think it's $169 for the 38 millimeter.
Okay, for the Series 1.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look that up. But which they're super, ridiculously inexpensive yeah, right now.
I don't know. Like, if you're looking for a new Apple Watch and you want to keep it cheap, I'd just go with the Series 1, actually.
I would, too. I would not buy a refurbished OG Apple Watch, which is the one they originally sold. They no longer. No, yeah. So it's just, it's underpowered. It's right. just too underpowered. But I will say this, though. After Apple Watch, or Apple Watch 3, I can't even say it, Watch OS 3 came out, have you guys activated unlocking your Mac with your Apple Watch on Mac OS Sierra?
I have tried. Not.
You tried? Yeah. How did that process go for you, Leander?
Wasted half the day yesterday trying to get it to work.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I have no idea how I even got it to work. Somebody on Twitter was asking me, and I'm like, I unticked and ticked the box like 20 times, and finally it just started working.
Really? That's all it did? Yeah.
Well, there's more to it than that. So the trick is I had Apple two-step verification turned on. And so if you're trying to unlock your Mac, you have to have Mac OS Sierra and Watch OS 3 installed respectively on each device. And then you have to turn off Apple two-step verification. And they tell you this in the settings when you're trying to activate your Apple Watch. And I'm like, well, how the heck do I do that, right? So I go to myappleid.com or something. I forget the URL, but it's the URL that you use to manage your Apple ID. And so you have to turn that off, which requires like verifying your identity and doing all this stuff. And then you have to activate two-step authentication, which is different than two-step verification. See how confusing this is? And turning on two-step authentication is also kind of a unclear process to me because I haven't done it in a long time. And then once I got that going, I was finally able to click the little checkbox that said I wanted to unlock my Mac with my Apple Watch. And then that didn't work. It said it couldn't find my Apple Watch. And I spent like 20 minutes just clicking that checkbox on and off.
You're
and
kidding.
Then finally, it just started working. Yeah.
You just clicked it on and off, on and off, on and off.
Yeah. I would click it on and wait 2 minutes, and then I'd turn it off. And then I'd click it on, wait 2 minutes, and turn it off. You know, it's like,
what gave you the idea that that was going to work?
Well, because it was sitting there spinning. So it would say, I forget what it was saying. When I clicked the checkbox, it would say searching for Apple Watch or something. And it just wouldn't work. And so, and it wouldn't give me an error message or anything. It just sat there with that little spinning, I don't know the name of the icon. It's not the beach ball that shows that it's trying to load something, and it just wouldn't stop. So I would eventually just get annoyed and uncheck it. So I went through that process like 20 times and it worked.
I went through this whole thing yesterday too, and I ended up turning off iCloud, logging out of iCloud on my Mac, which involves, you know, there's a whole process involved in that about, mm-hmm. you know, whether you want to save your documents and so on and so forth in your settings and then logging back in, and that didn't work. And I went through the whole two-step, turned that off, doing the two-factor authentication, turned that on. And then I just get this, you know, this your Mac is unable to communicate with your Apple Watch. Make sure they're unlocked on your wrist and powered on. And
that's the message that I got too, exactly.
And it has to be on the same, you know, you have to have the same iCloud ID. It has to be on the same Wi-Fi network. I had Wi-Fi turned off on my Mac for a little while. That might have been, I thought, oh, as soon as I've discovered that, I was like, okay, that's it. That's the problem. But I turned it on, and no joy. I've been digging around in the settings on the watch, digging around in the settings on the phone, the Mac.
Uh-huh,
it's a hairy nightmare.
Yeah, and it's terrible.
And then, of course, you search for it, and it's like, you know, everyone's like you. They all had their own, you know, some guy turned off iCloud, and it worked for him. And then he's had all these people saying, oh, my God, thanks so much. That worked for me, too. So you try that. And then, you know, you're the first one I heard, though, is like ticking and unticking the box for 20
yeah,
minutes.
I got the magic touch. I just tickled it.
Yeah.
And eventually it was like, stop, and it started working.
There's a lot of complaints, aren't there? There was a lot of complaints about it. Like,
were there? I wasn't sure if it was just me, but then some people on my Twitter stream started saying they were having problems with it as well.
Yeah, no, I think it's pretty
wild. Did you get it working, Leander?
No, I'm doing it now, but I'm doing what you did. So while we're doing the podcast, I'm going to be sitting here ticking and re-ticking. I'm just going to keep ticking it. I don't care if I have to sit here for weeks.
Of course, the other annoying thing is if you have two-step verification turned on, that means you have to use individual app passwords. for all your different apps that you use on your Mac and stuff. And once you turn that off, none of your apps are connected anymore. So you have to go through and create new passwords for all your different apps. Mm. So as Leander rightly said, it was a hairy nightmare. And thankfully, I got it fixed. And now that it's fixed, now that I actually got it working, if you have a Mac, it is the best reason to actually wear your Apple Watch every day. It's great. Anytime my MacBook is asleep, I just wake it up, and it says connecting to your Apple Watch or some message like that, and then it just unlocks. I never have to enter my password anymore. And at least so far, I've only had it working for 24 hours, not even. It has been rock solid reliable. It works every single time without fail.
Well, there used to be a bunch of apps that did this too, right, with Bluetooth.
Yeah, and they were all hokey.
Well, they were rock solid for 24 hours too until they stopped working, and then, you know.
Were they?
Well, so
the one
yeah.
I used was Mac ID. That's the one that you were using too, right?
I forget. I tried two of them. One of them stopped working, so I started using another one, and then that stopped working too.
Well, you know what I like about this method, which is better than all the other apps that are out there, is those all depend on you having your phone with you. And I don't always have my phone in my pocket, so it doesn't always unlock my Mac. Well, my Apple Watch, if you're wearing it, you're wearing it. It's on all day. And so anytime you approach your Mac, it actually will work. And yeah, we'll see how reliable it is. If it starts becoming less reliable, I'll let you guys know next week. But so far, it's been great. And as I said, it's the best reason. I'm actually going to start wearing my Apple Watch every day again because of this. Just because I'm so lazy. I don't want to spend the 2 seconds to type out my Apple password. That's how lazy that we've all become. Mm. Yes, I'm projecting onto all of you my laziness, but I know you're just as lazy as I am. You don't want to be entering your password every time you open your MacBook. Who's got time for that? Ain't nobody got time for that, a wise woman once said on a news broadcast.
I'm still clicking and it's not working. Your tip is rubbish.
I didn't say it was going to work for you. How many times have you clicked it on and off? 20 times?
Yeah, more than that, because it's instantaneous.
Yeah,
well, try again, as the choo-choo train once said. Was it the choo-choo train that said that? Okay, I'm going to give you guys a hot tip. This is a super hot tip, and then we're going to call it an episode here. We'll push the iOS 10 stuff to next week, because we're not going to have time for it. But I spent 5 minutes of my life that I'll never get back Googling just how to activate picture-in-picture mode on Mac OS Sierra on YouTube. So if you're using Vimeo or something, they're an Apple partner. They have implemented picture-in-picture mode on the Vimeo player, so it's really easy to do. But if you go to YouTube, which virtually everyone does, I was sitting there trying to figure it out, and there's no button on the video to press to activate picture-in-picture mode, and I was pulling my hair out trying to figure out how to do this, because picture-in-picture mode in Mac OS Sierra is one of the most hotly anticipated features in my book for me. Do you guys know how to do this? Do either of you guys know?
I haven't even updated.
You haven't even updated yet? Leander, I know you updated probably like 3 weeks ago.
No, I just did it yesterday, and I haven't done it yet either.
Wow. Unbelievable. Okay, so for everyone listening, we'll wrap up with this. You're going to thank me. If you are trying to use picture-in-picture mode, here's what you need to do. On the YouTube video, you need to hover over the video, and then you need to right-click or, you know, tap with two fingers on a trackpad if you're using your trackpad. It will bring up an HTML menu. And then you need to move the cursor off of that menu. And then you need to right-click again.
What?
And it brings up another menu. And that second double-click. So intuitive, right? How did we not just know this intuitively? It's like it's as if Johnny Ive designed the process himself.
Yeah.
The second double-click. It brings up another menu and allows you to do a picture-in-picture. And then you can move that picture anywhere in any of the four corners of your screen. You are welcome, sir.
Unlike iOS on the iPad, it just happens automatically.
Yeah, it is not automatic in any regard. Jeez. What, Leander?
So, I'm sorry, I couldn't follow any of that. Tell me the whole thing again. I'm trying to get one of my whispering videos up.
Okay, so basically what you need to do is double-click or right-click on the video twice. But the second time you do it, you want to make sure the cursor is not on the first menu that comes up. And then it will bring up the second menu, and then you'll see enter picture in picture mode or something like that. and then it will work for you. I think YouTube will eventually build in the picture-in-picture button, but clearly Apple either didn't work with YouTube to have them integrate this feature right from the start, or maybe YouTube just didn't want to work with Apple because they're Google and Google doesn't want to collaborate with Apple. I don't know what happened there. I think it's very strange that Apple get this working right off the bat. But it is there's absolutely no way you would figure that out on your own. I don't think.
That's totally crazy. Yeah, yeah. Like you said, you got to do it twice in quick succession. Right. And it brings up this other menu. How'd you find this out?
I had to freaking Google it.
Mental.
I was like, this is so confusing. How do you get this working? Is this not working in Mac OS Sierra? Am I crazy? I thought they said this was a feature. This is YouTube. Surely it has to work on YouTube. And it does. It's just absolutely ridiculously hidden.
You don't have to move your cursor off the thing. You just have to do it twice. Click twice.
Oh, really? When I tried on my computer, I had to move the cursor. Okay. Well, regardless, you're welcome. I think we should go ahead and wrap it up there.
Awesome. Now I can watch my whispering videos.
Leander's already got like several whispering videos booted up. He's going to have one in each corner of the screen. He's going to have a cacophony of whispers going. He's going to get very turned on, and we don't want to be there for that. So let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the cultcast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come say hi to us or come thank me personally for giving you that sweet tip on macOS Sierra, I'm at Aerofun Busters BST3R. Leander is L. Caney. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys. Can we do an ASMR send-off? We can all whisper next time at the same time. Ready?
Next time.
Oh, now Leander's turned on. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. That was a bad idea.
'Cultcast
time.
Oh, hombre, what's up?
Take the shirt off. It's 'Cultcast time.
Yeah, get them nips out.
Flick them around. Tune in the radio station. It's 'Cultcast time.
So you get AM and FM on those things?
Oh, you know, one's AM, one's FM. Don't make me get out. XM.
Oh, shit. That's the big one. Is that your third nip or your
it's my third. I don't like to talk about it, actually. Oh, okay.